Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Deeper Truth. Welcome to Deeper Truth, the Healing Communions of St. Didicus. And with me, I've got Dr. Gregory Thompson. How you doing, Greg? How you doing tonight?
I am doing better than wonderful. God bless you, Donald. How are you doing tonight?
Yeah. Oh, we're doing outstanding. I tell you, I'm just so excited about being able to do this. Tried for a couple of days, and it's just been difficult when the system was down, but we're back up and running, and it's just so great to be back on there, Greg. And it's great to have you here with us. All right.
It is indeed. And welcome to everyone out there, all the men and women around the world that are able to tune in tonight after a few technical problems with the New York. Group. Hopefully they'll be able to stay up and running in the future. But sometimes we're thankful, Donald, that you're so persistent. You got them to come around eventually. God bless you, brother.
Yeah, and God bless you too, Greg. And
the people and their families out there need these very special things that we're able to bring to them on this Eucharistic night, to help them in their walk to eternity and those that they love, you know. So everyone out there, share the things that you're going to hear tonight, you know, because not all sometimes we even hear new things ourselves, you know. There's so much out there. So, Don, appreciate you. Anybody else coming with us tonight?
Well, Doc talked like he might if he could, but I don't know if he's going to. I haven't seen anybody else yet. But, you know, this one particular that we're talking about tonight with St. Didacus, that this happens at every Mass. At every Mass. And the priest in the performance of his duties and administering the sacraments, and I mean, it's all a miracle, you know, and it's something that we all can be a part of and to participate in. It's an invitation. And, you know, with...
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Donald. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying that every time you go to confession, a true, genuine miracle takes place. A miracle. And when you go to Mass, a genuine miracle takes place at every Mass. And think about how many people go to confession who may have been in mortal sin at one time. Or think about this, Greg. Every time that a priest hears the confession and gives absolution to a repentant sinner, that's the raising of the dead. Would you agree?
It is very much similar to that, for sure. We are, without repenting, it's one of the first things that Jesus told us to do. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Did he not?
Yes,
and
he did.
That was also repeated by St. John the Baptist. Very,
yes.
Very important to get, to understand that. So important.
Yes, and so did, you know, Thomas Meester, Nicholas Stork, who were the founders of the Baptist denomination, and they came out and said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for all have sinned and fallen short of the Baptist faith. And I would say, well, yeah, well, the Catholic faith. Go to the Catholic faith. So.
Well, we have, it's a beautiful start in something we're missing so much in so many ways. And it might be in hearts, but as far as what you visually see, St. Didacus, as it starts out in that first paragraph, even it says, gave great diligence and reverence toward the Holy Eucharist. And that's, you know, it's just that you see it so much more, you know, and you wish so many people, so many of the clergy embraced it like that with a great diligence and reverence toward the Holy Eucharist, you know. And I know,
yeah.
And I'm not saying it's not in their hearts, you know, and it might be in their rhetoric to a degree, but to really see it, you know, I don't think the young see it as much as was when I was growing up, you know. He saw great diligence and reverence, and there was an aura, in fact, around the Mass and the priests and the people that participated in the Mass. It was just a great diligence of the people and the priests as you came into Mass. And Mass was very solemn, and you experienced the wholeness of the sacrifice Jesus was willing to give up out of love for us, and he knew us all by name. And, well, St. Didacus, God bless us, not to get off subject here, he actually miraculously restored many of the sick to health by merely making the sign of the cross over them and presenting the Eucharist before them. Would that be awesome? You know, I think they'd have to have a policeman guiding everybody coming and going,
yeah,
if they had that experience in today's time, you know, where someone just by giving the sign of the cross and putting the Eucharist before them, that they would be healed. There are so many people that are in spirit, mind, and body are so sick in our world, you know.
Yeah.
The Lord says was going to happen because, you know, we've fallen away from our faith in so many ways. And
yes.
So if we want to regain that liveliness that we had in our faith, I think it will. It's almost like, you know, going after a loose ball in basketball. You know, when you have when you taught your players to dive on the ball, everybody's diving for the ball, you know, and it just would be so nice to start seeing that again, that reverence that we used to have in the in every part of the Mass from beginning to end. One of the things it talks about is on a hunting trip, Henry IV of Castile fell from his horse and injured his arm. In intense pain and with his doctors unable to relieve his agony, he went to and sought St. Didicus and called for him to pray for a cure. The king felt the pain disappear and his arm immediately regained its former strength. And at what point did that happen, Donald? They just told us earlier. When St. Denis, he gave a sign of the cross and presented the Eucharist before him. And when that happened, he felt the pain disappear and his arm immediately regained its former strength. On one occasion, it is told he rescued a young boy who was playing in an oven when his mother inadvertently, to his being inside, lit it. On another occasion, he cured someone's sight by anointing his eyes with oil. You know, it's we can always say no accident, but it's pretty neat when you have saints that glorify the good Lord and honor his mother and given the opportunity to be in the presence of someone that needs that love and mercy from a holy God who loves us so much and gives them an opportunity. Each of us has different gifts and different gifts, not only in spirit, mind, and body. And St. Didicus was pretty special.
Definitely. Do you remember Father Bill that used to be there at Stockton, Missouri? Do you remember him at all?
I remember being there more than once, and I met a couple of different priests over time there.
But Father Bill was kind of like he had Stockton and El Dorado and then Hemansville there, to Hemansville, Missouri. And why I'm remembering him is because my mother was in an automobile accident where she was hit broadside by a car that had ran through a stop sign and hit my mother's side of the car where she was in the passenger side, broadside, and it broke her back in two places. And for years, she was partially paralyzed. And one day at Mass, Mom was able to walk up with 13 other individuals when Father Bill gave my mother the anointing of the sick up there in the front of the, you know, right at, during Mass. And she felt this warmth encompass her. And then at that time, she began to feel movement, which just, you know, touches my heart. And I can't help but think about this. And yeah. Father Bill. And Father Bill was also the one who baptized and received my wife Gigi into the church as well. I was both my mother's and my wife's sponsor in confirmation. Ain't that something?
And that's better than awesome, brother.
Very much so.
Oh, he very much understood, as the story goes on, he very much understood that the Mass is the source of the purpose, the passion, and the power. God the Father is the purpose. God the Son is the passion. God the Holy Spirit is the power. The God of heaven comes to us in his Eucharistic presence. Jesus truly present, body, blood, soul, and divinity. Let us begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It is reported that a Eucharistic miracle occurred when a child was witnessed coming from the tabernacle as a consuming fire fell upon the faithful at Mass. Jesus said, "I am the living bread that comes down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life and remains in me and I in him." That is one that is not, I often wonder how many people have read and repeated that, Donald. For sure it's not being read and repeated in most of the churches outside the Catholic Church, but it's so, so important. And as you see things being taken literal, yet it comes to that, they don't want to mention it because it's too Catholic.
Definitely.
And so, but how much so have we lost that sense, even from the pews in the church, sadly. And those listening tonight, repeat that before you get away from the computer tonight or wherever, or if you're listening or whatever, repeat that, four or five times. Really let it sink in, because it's Jesus talking. And listen again what he said. "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread shall live forever." This was something that was very known so well by the people that were listening to Jesus. This passage, they knew what he was talking about. And then he said, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life and remains in me and I in him." Well, that was too hard for them to take in, and they even as clear as it was, and in their language, they understood what he said. That's why they walked away,
Greg?
We have an opportunity always. We have a free will, and the good Lord has given us that special gift of him. And we need to shout it from the rooftops. Go ahead, Don. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you're fine. This is not the first time that I have seen this example of a miracle where Jesus, as a child, coming out of the tabernacle like that, which shows that Jesus is truly present, body, blood, soul, divinity. And we have other Eucharistic miracles where Jesus, the child Jesus, is presents himself, manifests himself in such a way up right there out of the tabernacle. And I think we've seen this in other Eucharistic miracles. And it's just a powerful one to me.
Amen. 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 In the Gospels, we read that the Eucharist was instituted at the Last Supper. It was the last mystery today in the Luminous Mysteries, the institution of the Eucharist.
That's right.
What a special Christ-centric thing to be talking about in the Luminous Mysteries. In the Gospels, we read that the Eucharist was instituted at the Last Supper. This is the fulfillment of the covenants in the Hebrew Scripture. In the Last Supper narrative, Jesus took, broke, and gave bread and wine to his disciples. In the blessing of the cup of wine, Jesus calls it the blood of the covenant and the new covenant in my blood. When this is going on, and when he does that part of the Mass where the Eucharist becomes the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ, and the blood wine turns into blood. The good Lord right there is holding himself in his own hands, like St. Augustine said.
Yes.
That the good Lord was holding himself in his own hands, if we can put our mind around that. This reminds us of the blood ritual with which the covenant was ratified at Sinai. The strength of the blood of sacrificed animals united God and Israel in one relationship. So now the shed blood of Jesus on the cross is the bond of union between new covenant partners, God the Father, Son, and the Christian Church. Through Jesus' sacrifice, all the baptized are in relationship with God. The Catechism teaches that all Catholics who have received their first Holy Communion are welcome to receive Eucharist at Mass, unless sin, a state of mortal sin, is in their life. Anyone who desires to receive Christ in the Eucharist, in the Communion, must be in a state of grace. Anyone aware of having sinned mortally must not receive Communion without having received absolution in the sacrament of penance. And that's why you said that was a miraculous thing that happens too, Donald. You know, when we have,
yes,
when we have penance, that and it's so sad. I don't know how it is where you are, Donald, but there's so many times I've been where I go in there and there might be one or two, sometimes others, when you come out of the confessional, but just so many people are not taking advantage of that. And I think we've really almost talked about it in a weak way, you know, because of there are even doctors of the church who want confession every day, and knowing how important it was and wanting to be as pure as they could be. And if we just looked at it that way, I don't know that I have a mortal sin, but to love God so much that I'm going to go and confess whatever venial sins, because it even helps you not repeat venial sins, or makes them less likely to happen. It strengthens us, and so many have not and are not taking advantage of that. I don't know how many go at your church on a weekly basis, but it just seems like everywhere I go, it's not too many that are going to confession on a regular basis.
I think we got a number, and it is a wonderful thing. People are going, and this is what St. John Vianney said. He said that when you have made a good confession, you have chained up the devil. Now, that's an important reason to go to confession right there, isn't it?
It is, and then he's not a moving target when you say the Hail Mary, because it's like taking a hammer and hitting him in the head. That's what that one devil said. Said
exactly.
We actually knew what would happen. So,
and I like what you just – I'm glad you mentioned that there, Greg. Because John Vianney said this, when you invoke the Blessed Virgin Mary, when you're tempted, she will come at once to your help and Satan will leave you. So, wow. I mean, that's exactly it right there.
What you just said is a remarkable thing that's in my life, Donald, you know, because probably over the years, probably the most tempting thing, maybe I'm like most men, or maybe I'm different than most men, but probably the most tempting thing for a lot of men, I'll just put that away, is the opposite sex. You know, it is a tempting thing to see a beautiful lady, and if they're not dressed very well or different things.
Modestly.
Yeah, it can cause your mind to wander. But since I took a vow of poverty years ago, Our Lady had just taken care of that by as soon as it might happen, or the thought even might start coming as I'll start saying a Hail Mary, and Mary takes care of it.
Well, I think this is important right here. St. Louis de Montfort, he said that never will anyone who says the rosary every day be led astray. And I think that's an important point to make too.
Amen. Amen. Many of the sick and disabled were brought before St. Didicus as the Lord worked great deeds among the people through him. The Church warmly recommends that the faithful receive Holy Communion when they participate in the celebration of the Eucharist. She obliges them to do so at least once a year. And, you know, we've had saints, doctors of the Church, and popes that have really seen the beauty and what the Eucharist can do in the lives of men and families that have really promote receiving the Eucharist on a more regular basis all year long.
Yeah, I kind of wonder. I think that this is something that the Church put out for those who have to travel long distances on foot. I think that's part of it, why she made that so it wouldn't be so cumbersome to those. Now, like to you and me, Greg, who can travel by car, we can go definitely more often, much, much more often. And so, but I think that the reason why once a year was that was just, I think, is because of how the Church came out in so many areas where they have to go by long distances. And so
that's an element on for sure, Donald. I think also I can remember Bishop Athanasius Snyder when he was growing up, they would only have a priest once a year. You know, there were a lot of priests that were killed or in gulags, you know, with the Soviet Union.
Yeah.
And so there were times that's all they just having it once a year. But they were able to keep their faith. You know, just like, you know, when they said, I think it was in Japan, they hadn't had any priests come for almost 2.5 years, I believe. And
400 years. St. Paul Mickey, and 22 Jesuit priests and altar servers and laymen were put to death on Mount Nagasaki, and all the priests were kicked out of this country and wasn't able to get back until it was centuries after that they were able to come back in.
I think it was about 250 years, but people kept their faith.
Yeah. Yes.
And it picked them up. When a priest came back, people were already ready to have a priest. They were ready.
Yes.
And that's the hand of God because of their faithfulness, for sure. But the Lord Jesus Christ and the Most Holy Eucharist, I thank you for the gift of your most precious blood, body, and blood present in the form of bread and wine. This precious and priceless food you have made available out of your abundant and deep love for me. Everybody just think about saying that to yourself, because he knows you by name. You know, this precious and priceless food you have made available out of your abundant and deep love for me. As each one of you listening, guys, that are true to the good Lord and the Mass and the Eucharist, I thank you once more for the gifts of your most precious body and blood, available to quench my eternal hunger and thirst. Lord Jesus Christ, I acknowledge your real and full presence in the most holy Eucharist. I worship and adore you, my God and my King, in the most holy Eucharist. All these things are just things you can meditate on and make it a part of your life every day. Lord Jesus, in the most holy Eucharist, help me to have great and deep longing, respect, and reverence for you, so needed in our church today. Pray for your friends and your family. I pray with all my heart that all men will come to respect, worship, and adore you in the Holy Eucharist. I pray for a change of heart and a deep conversion of all those who despise, reject, mock, and refuse to believe and appreciate your presence in the Holy Eucharist, Lord Jesus Christ. Saint Didicus offered the Eucharist for the faithful in his time. Today we receive the same miracle of the Eucharist at each Mass. May we receive conversion and healing as those in Saint Didicus' time. Amen. As he was dying, Didicus looked at a crucifix and said, "O faithful wood, O precious nails, you have borne an exceedingly sweet burden, for you have been judged worthy to bear the Lord and King of heaven." Well, that very thought, Donald, you know, I don't know why it brought to me when you said it that way when I just read it. O faithful wood, O precious nails, you have borne an exceedingly sweet burden, for you have been judged worthy to bear the Lord and the King of heaven. When I read that, first thing I thought of was when Jesus came in to Jerusalem on the donkey. You know?
Yeah.
And I thought about that donkey, little donkey. It was just a small donkey that he came in on, and it was showing his humility. A king that did this out of love, and not with a stallion. You know, he was doing it to show his humbleness and his love, and he deserved the glory of the entire everything that exists. But
Greg, you know, have you heard, Greg, that this donkey was a descendant of the donkey that Solomon rode into, you know, when he accepted the kingship or something? I've heard something of that nature, and I think that's fascinating how God uses these things. It all has a purpose, you know. I just think it's kind of pretty wild.
It is, always. Always, brother. So, we have very fortunate, so many things going on that we need to be praying about. I was asked to come and over to a church over just outside of Jefferson City and bring the relics and do a small talk there.
Oh, wow.
Hopefully.
That's cool.
And then again on the 20th, that's in 4th and 5th, 3rd and 4th of December, and then on the 20th and 21st, do something similar in a couple of churches over at in St. Louis. So hopefully with that I can, if either one of those churches has a school, be able to be with the children and give them an opportunity to, with the Blessed Sacrament and everything too, but with the relics.
Yeah.
And then I've also say a prayer for this. I haven't talked to Mike McGlynn yet about this, but if he can't do it, I'm going to see if Lou in next time she comes to the city. But I did on the 6th and 7th of October, Our Lady of the Rosary. I was able to be in a part of a group. There were six priests. One of them fell out, and they put me in that spot. And I was able to be with the church children, I mean with the children at a school on the 6th, and then with the bishop. Bishop actually sat with us for an hour in adoration.
And wow.
You know, whenever you see a bishop sit that long and then do mass for everybody, it's just you feel like, you know, you want to feel like they're getting it, that they really understand and the beauty of that. But when I talked to the principal in that school, and that's what I want to film, because just like the lady that was doing the rosary with the children before she gave it to the staff every day in the Catholic school, they do mass every day at that Catholic school in North Kansas City. The priest is just one of those definitely servant spiritual warriors for the good Lord. Does the mass every day, and I was talking to the principal, and she said, you know, I was just, in my mind, I really, Father, how are we going to have enough time? And she's almost laughing as she was telling it. She said, but the good Lord and his mother made time for us. Everything just worked out because of the holy presence of doing it and put God first. They had time to get everything every day taken care of. And on the one day that they did not have the priest there on one day, on that day they did the rosary. And so you start seeing some beauty like that, Don, seeing people, you're saying, okay, they get it, you know. So, awesome, awesome.
Now, Greg, do you know that there's an American city that was named in honor of St. Didicus? Do you know which city that might be?
Well, it sure wasn't Los Angeles or New York.
No, no. San Diego. San Diego, California.
And that's St. Didicus?
Yeah. They named San Diego in honor coming from St. Didicus. So I just thought that was interesting.
It is very interesting. I've been there one time.
Mm-hmm.
Out there, San Diego. Did a conference there.
Wow.
So, been a long time ago. Seemed like a different lifetime sometimes.
And we got a number of people that's been listening in and kind of following in. So I hope that all those who are listening in and following in or just listening in would just, if you go to Deeper Truth blog and look up, find, you know, St. Didicus on our webpage, both his story, his Saint of the Day story, and then the healing communions of St. Didicus. And to me, being able to cover the saints and these events, it's, to me, it's just a, I mean, I'm getting so much. It's an odyssey, Greg. It really is. And just following the church calendar. And we tried to do this for 2 days, so we're just kind of getting catch up with St. Didicus today. But I'm so thankful that we did, because I really enjoy his story, and we thank you, Lord, for the life of St. Didicus and your working through him, as you do through our priests today. So we pray for our priests.
Amen, amen. We don't have a priest, we don't have the Mass. We don't have the Mass, we don't have our Catholic faith, do we?
No.
Without the Eucharist. So we need our priests so bad. And yes, Satan has really attacked the priesthood big time. So we need to pray for him every day.
I agree.
So what's upcoming, John? Donald?
Well, tomorrow, our saint of the day tomorrow will be, I'll be focusing on Blessed John Duns Scotus. That's his feast day is tomorrow. And then Thursday, the dedication of St. John Lateran Basilica. So I'll be covering those two tomorrow. Tomorrow morning, oh. Blessed John Duns Scotus. And then tomorrow afternoon, the dedication of St. John Lateran Basilica. And then on Friday, St. Leo the Great. Oh, this is so good. St. Martin of Tours, outstanding. And St. Josephat. So, but every day. This is what a wonderful gift we have. Go ahead there, Greg.
Amen. I said, that's awesome.
It is and for the rest of November. Yeah. And I will end this with a song that I'm going to dedicate to Greg, because Greg loves this song. When you're ready, Greg.
I'm waiting in anticipation.
Okay. Well, Psalms 45, it says that Jesus loves stringed music. Stringed instrument. He loves stringed music. So this is also dedicated to Jesus as well as Greg, and I like it myself. So here we go, Greg.
Awesome, Donald.
May the most holy, most sacred, most adorable, most mysterious, and unutterable name of God be always praised, blessed, loved, adored, glorified in heaven, on earth, and under the earth by all the creatures of God and by this sacred heart of our Lord Jesus Christ in the most holy sacrament of the altar. And when you hear hallelujah, know that means praise the Lord. So when you hear this song, we're praising the Lord. And it pleases our Lord. And so thank you, Greg, for joining me tonight for this adventure of St. Didacus and his reverence towards the Mass and the effect it had on those. And I think I lost Greg, but that's okay.
Yeah,
I got you. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Greg. Well, thank you so much.
I set my phone down, but I could still hear you.
Ah, okay.
But anyway, that was a beautiful way you played that song. If we got time, play it again. That was good.
Oh, sure. I could play that again. All right.
That's pretty awesome.
Greg, I could tell Greg loves that song. I do too. So here he goes one more time, and we'll close with this. You've been listening to Deeper Truth, the Healing Communions of St. Didacus, and Eucharistic Miracles with Dr. Greg Thompson, live on Deeper Truth Radio.
Amen.
She broke your throne and she cut your hair and cried.
That is beautiful. Judy, and I got this is another song. You raise us up I'll get that to you, Greg. I'll get that to you. But this one here, I think you'll like just as much.
Y'all send me that one too.
Yes. Well, that's beautiful. Now, I don't know if you haven't been to Mass, if you've not been going to Mass, why is it that if you have not been going to Mass, whatever those reasons, here at Deeper Truth, we want to encourage you, whatever it is that's preventing you from a close walk with our Lord, to let it go. And this is Lucy Thomas, to let it go also, if it is, whatever it is, preventing you.
Let it go. I can't remember what she called. I can't sing in this.
The snow goes white on the mountains tonight. Not a footprint to be seen. A changing of isolation. And it looks like I'm queen. The wind is howling like this swirling storm inside. Couldn't keep it in. Heaven knows I tried. Don't let them in, don't let them see. Be the good girl you always have to be. Conceal, don't feel.
Thank you all for listening, as it has been coming from all over the world. And we thank you all. Thank you, Lord. And God bless you all out there. And we will see you again tomorrow. God's blessings be upon you all. Amen. As we close, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.